The OU has put out an agoda under the editorship of Rabbi Ganak Shlita from Rav Salvechik Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's called An Exalted Evening. And in it, I saw a very powerful thought concerning the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Why it's called the Haggadah, the simple understanding is that it's like the word Magid in the Seder, the mitzvah of Vigadata Labincha, to relate it to your child. However, the Rav Salvechik wants to say that the word Haggadah comes from Haggadas Edus, that when a witness comes to Beis Din, to the court, he gives over a testimony. And that's what the word Haggadah is. And therefore, Rav Salvechik explains, we find in the Haggadah, Chayiv Adam Lirisus Atzma Kilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. A person has to imagine as if he himself went out of Mitzrayim. Because if, in fact, the entire Haggadah is one of Haggadah's Edus of testimony, we have a rule in testimony that Eid Mipi Eid is possible. That if one witness says that I heard this from another witness, it's not a kosher testimony. The Beis Din will not accept what this witness is saying. You have to see it yourself. It has to be an eyewitness account. So, therefore, the Haggadah says, Chayiv Adam Lirisus Atzma Kilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. A person has to imagine as if he himself is going out of Mitzrayim. And it could be because in order to give over to our children, we know that the night of the Seder is the night of Emunah, of giving over to from one generation to the other, the Mesorah of from one generation to the other, the tradition of Emunah, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to give it over so strongly to your child that your child should feel as if you yourself, as if his father, his parent, had just come out of Mitzrayim, had lived through that experience. If you're able to make it as if it's an eyewitness account, if a person learns Medrashim about all the Makos, and he knows what the whole story of Mitzrayim is all about, and he gives it over in such a way that the child feels, I think maybe my parents were actually at Mitzrayim. They came out of Mitzrayim. That's a way to give it over from one generation to the other. If this idea is correct, I believe we can understand something else. I heard from Rav Schlesinger Shlita that during the entire year, Chazal tell us, Gemara and Brachas, I believe it's on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and it's taken from Masechta Derech Eretz, La'olam yargul adamas atzmoy loymer eini yadea. A person should always be used to saying, I don't know. If he knows the answer, say it. But to fudge the answer, to pretend that you know the answer when you don't, no, there's a mitzvah to say, this particular thing, I don't know. However, Rav Schlesinger said, that's not true in the night of the Seder. Because the night of the Seder, we say 13 times, Ani Yodea. Echad mi yodea, echad ani yodea. Shnayim mi yodea, shnayim ani yodea. So tonight is a night when a father has to give over to his child, I know. I think the depth of this nice thought from Rav Schlesinger Shlita is based on what we just said from Rav Salvechik. Because if we're dealing with Haggadas Edus, if we're dealing with testimony from a witness can't come to court and the Dayanim ask him something and he says, I don't know. I don't know, then you're not a witness. When I said over this Dvar Torah to my family, so my wife asked me a very good question. Does a witness have to know everything? And her question brings out, I think, an important point here. No, a witness doesn't have to know everything. But Chazal tell us that we have bedikos and we have chakiros, which means certain questions that the judges will ask the witness He can say, I don't know, what color socks was the murderer wearing? I don't remember. I didn't take notice of that. I saw that Reuven Chas V'Shalom killed Shimon, but I don't know what color socks. Okay, you don't know. You don't have to know. That's not a crucial thing. What color socks was he wearing? But if I ask you, what day of the week was it? What was the date? What was the year? What was the place? Those are called chakiras. There are seven fundamental questions that if you say to one of those seven questions, I don't know, then the Beis Din says, I'm sorry, you are not a witness. What we are saying over to our children on the night of the Seder are fundamental points of Yahadus, of Yiddishkeit. On those fundamental points, we cannot say, Eini yodei, I don't know. We're not dealing here with things similar to bedikos, which are not important items. Here we are dealing with the most fundamental concepts in Yahadus. There a father has to say, Ani yodei, I know it. And this perhaps answers the question all the Mefarshim ask, what's the whole thing that we say, Echad mi yodea, Shnai mi yodea, what does that have to do with the Seder? And some of the Mefarshim show how each one of these numbers, 1, 2, until 13, has something to do with going out of Mitzrayim. But according to the way that we are explaining it, perhaps the thought is that we're trying to teach our children, and by the way, the entire method of giving over is through Shaila and Tshuva, and we'll soon speak about that as well. It's through question and answer. Because when a child is motivated to ask questions, then the answer that he receives penetrates its heart. His heart, it becomes part of his essence. If it's Derech Shaila Tshuva, one of the methods of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that is fundamental is the father, the child asks, and to that the father responds. So that's why this part of the Haggadah is also like that. Echad mi yodea, echad ani yodea. There's a question and an answer. Shnayim mi yodea, shnayim ani yodea. Question and answer. So the simple idea is, again, that it's to be mechanech the child. The best way, the best teacher is one who can evoke questions from the child and then respond to those questions. That answer, the child has a desire to get an answer to his question. That's the best methodology in chinuch. However, according to the way we're explaining it, perhaps there's another thought. The thought is that when a Beis Din asks seven questions to the aid, to the witness. So that's why perhaps the whole idea of the Leil HaSeder is Shailu Tshuva. Because you're saying a testimony. You're saying Haggadah's Eidus. So you have to respond to the question. You have to give an answer. And that's why we say these 13 things. What does it have to do with the night of the Seder? Because they show that we're dealing with fundamental aspects of Yahadus. Echad mi yodea, echad ani yodea, echad elikenu shebishamayim uvaretz. We're speaking about Hashem. We're speaking about the Shnei Luchas Abris. We're speaking about the Sholosh Avos, the Arboi Mois, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. We're dealing here with the fundamentals of faith. So on these fundamentals of faith, one cannot say, the father cannot say, ani yodea, I don't know. These are fundamental. And if I'm saying over a testimony, a fundamental aspect of testimony, you must know the answer. If you don't know the answer, it is not acceptable. Now, concerning this concept of Shiloh Tshuva, I would like to point out the following, which I've heard from Rav Ganak Shlita again, and he said it over in the name of Rav Soloveitchik Zitzel. In the Seder, we say over the Inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we pick the Parsha in Seder Dvorim that speaks about Arami Oved Avi. And Chazal, through various ways, the 13 ways that the Torah is explained. So the Chazal understand all of these psukim that they have something to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the question that Rabbi Ganak asked in the name of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was, why do we go to the obscure parsha of Arami Yovid Avi where things are not clear and Chazal have to explain us what it means? Why don't we learn it directly from Parsha Shmois or Ve'era? Shmois or Ve'era, it says clearly all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says about the 10 Makos. Why do we have to go to a Parsha where the Chazal have to explain us that has something to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he gave over an answer from the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav says, and Rav Soloveitchik is going to build on this concept of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav says, Zeh Shmi Lo'ilam, V'zeh Zichri L'dor V'dor. My name is, Hashem's name, the way it's written in the Chumash, is Yud, and then a He, and then a Vav, and then a He, Yud Ke Vav Ke. But V'zeh Zichri, how am I remembered? L'dor V'dor, from one generation to the other, that's Adni. We pronounce those letters Aleph Dalet and then Nun Yud Adni. So the Chazal say Loi Kemoisha Ani Nichtav Ani Nisker. Not the way my letters of my name are written. Do we pronounce those letters? We pronounce the letters different than the way they're written. So the Briskerov said, when you give over the Torah from one generation to the other, from a father to a child, from a Rebbe to a Talmud, the Torah Shebiksav is there. It's in a book. The child can learn it. You don't have to give it over in that sense. But the Torah Shebapeh, the oral Torah, what Chazal are saying here, it's written Yudke Vavke, but we don't pronounce it that way. We pronounce it Adni. Who tells us to pronounce it that way? That's the Chazal. That's the Torah Shebaal Peh that is telling us based on this pasuk. So the dor le dor, from one generation to the other, you know what you have to give over? You have to give over the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why it could be that at the time of the Seder, we bedafka. That's what Rav Soloveitchik is saying. Rav Soloveitchik is saying that you know why we read it from Arami Oved Avi and we don't read it from Shmos and Ve'era where it says the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim clearly? Because what you have to give over from one generation to the other is Torah Shebaal Peh. And the night of Pesach is the time to give over not only about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but about Torah Shebaal Peh also. And we'll soon explain why this is so. So therefore, Zeh Shmi Lo'olam, this is my name forever. It's written in the Chumash, but it's written in the Sefer Torah. Zeh Zichri, the way I'm remembered, the way it's pronounced, Aleph Dalet and then Nun Yud, that's midor l'dor. That's one generation giving it over to the other. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. The night of the Seder, we don't read from Shmos and Va'era, where it says in Beferish and the Sefer Torah and the Chumash about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We learn it from Arami Yovid Avi because there we need Chazal. We need the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, to understand what's in the written Torah. And as we'll soon see on the night of the Seder, when we give over the Mesorah from one generation to the other, we have to give it over the Torah Shebaal Peh as well. And why is this so? So I learned with someone called Rav Moshe Rotenberg Shlita, and he told me over the following thought, in the name of the Maral. Why is it that Pesach Mitzrayim, there was not 7 days of eating chametz, aveira to eat chametz. It was only the first Pesach that there was in Mitzrayim was 1 day. The answer is because in order to have the full 7 days with the Chol HaMoed in between, you have to have like bookends. You have to have Pesach the first day, and you have to have Pesach the last day, the seventh day of Pesach, when we had Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. So if you have Pesach only one day, and you don't yet have the seventh day of Kriyas Yamsuf, then you can't have a middle. It's only when you have the two bookends, when you have Pesach in the beginning and you have the seventh day at the end, like we have now, then you can have the middle. The middle gets its holiness, the Chol HaMoed gets its holiness from the two ends. If you only have one end, you can't have the middle. That's why there was no Isser Chometz after the first night, the first day of Pesach in Mitzrayim. The Sachet Shavur Goyin tells us that when we make Havdolah, from Yontif to Chol HaMoed, what do we say? Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol. Now the question is that Chol HaMoed is also has holiness to it. You're not allowed to do many melachos unless it's something necessary for Yontif. For you're going to lose a tremendous amount of money. They're all complicated halachas when you're allowed to do melacha. But so there is a holiness to Chol HaMoed. So why do we call it Chol? The answer is that Yontif, says the Sachet Shavur Goyin, is Kodesh, is holy. It's the source of holiness. Chol HaMoed is Kodesh, but it's not Kodesh. It's like the moon that gets its hashpah, it gets its light from the sun. The sun reflects off the moon, so the moon has light. But the moon of itself has no light. The same thing, Chol HaMoed gets its holiness from the first day and the last day of Pesach. In between, it gets its holiness. So it is Kodesh, but it's not Kodesh. Kodesh is the source of holiness. And that reflects on Chol HaMoed that's in between the first day and the last day. So the Ramban tells us that the days in between Pesach and Shavuos are considered Chol HaMoed as well. They're not exactly like Chol HaMoed, but he says they're similar to Chol HaMoed. And he says that Shavuos, beginning the eighth week after the Sfira of the 7 weeks, the Ramban says, Kodosh Yom Shmini Kishmini Shachag. Just like you have on Sukkot, you have Shmini Atzeres, which is a yontif. So beginning the eighth week of Shavuos, that is like the end of Pesach. In other words, the Ramban connects Pesach to Shavuos, and the days that are in between Pesach and Shavuos are like similar, says the Ramban. Vayomim asfurim ben tayim kecholoi shel moed ben arishin vashmini bechag. They are like Chol HaMoed between the first day of yontif and the last day of yontif. Now, according to what we have been saying, so the days in between are of between Pesach and Shavuos get their kedusha from Shavuos on the one hand, on the end, and Pesach in the beginning. So that's why there must be a connection between Pesach and Shavuos. You know what the connection is? The connection is that what was our freedom worth on Pesach? It was worth nothing if we didn't come to the eighth week, Shavuos, the Yontif of Kabbalah Satira. The Chinuch tells us that the entire inyan of Sfiris Oimer is to lead up to the great day of getting the Torah on Shavuos. Without that, there would be no purpose in the cheres, the freedom of Pesach itself. So Chazal tell us, Ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha isik b'tayra. Who is considered really free? Only someone who learns Torah and practices Torah. He is free from his evil inclination, from his yetzer hara. So now we have a connection between Pesach and Shavuos. There's cheres on Pesach. We're free on Pesach. But what's that cheres leading up to? What's the whole Sfiris HaOmer leading up to? The Chol HaMoed, the days in between Pesach and Shavuos, are leading up to what? To Shavuos, which is Torah. Without the Shavuos at the other end, then the Cheirus of Pesach is meaningless. So the Cheirus of Pesach is Torah, and the Torah of Shavuos defines for us what that Cheirus was all about. I'm reading here from a sefer. It's called Masha Hoya Hu Sheyia. It's on Avtoiris. He brings in the Agois from the sefer Matei Moshe from the Medrash. Lama Tola Kosov Chagashus Besfir Soimer Mashenke Bechola Moyadis. We find an unusual thing that Shavuos is dependent on Sfir Soimer, which we don't find by other Yom Tovim. In other words, Sukkot has nothing to do with Pesach. Shavuos all of a sudden is connected to Pesach through Sfiras Omer. So he says here, Lefi Shekin Nisbasru Yisrael, Lotzeis Mitzrayim, Nisbasru Shem Asin Lekavos Atar Lesoif Nun Yom Litziyosan. When the Jews were told that they're going out of Mitzrayim, they were also told that the end of 50 days you're going to get the Torah on Har Sinai. As the Pasuk says, Boitziachas Om Mitzrayim, when you take the Jews, Moshe, out of Mitzrayim, you will serve Hashem on this mountain. Now the word tavdun, you didn't need the nun at the end. What's tavdun with a nun? It could have said tavdu. You will serve Hashem on this mountain. The answer is tavdu, you will serve nun. You will serve on the 50th day, you will get the Torah at Har Sinai. So the says the Matei Moshe, Harei Anun Shel Tavdun Yisera. It's extra. Loimerlach Lekeitz Nun Yom Tavdun Es Alekim Shet Tekablu Es Atayra. And therefore, each day of the Sfiras Omer, we are rejoicing that this Pesach is leading us up to Shavuos. So, and that's why he said an interesting thing in the Sefer. It's brought down that Hilchas Shavuos is written in Hilchas Pesach. If you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you won't find a separate section for Shavuos. You'll find that Hilchas Shavuos are the last halachas of Hilchas Pesach. What's Hilchas Shavuos doing in Hilchas Pesach? The answer is because Shavuos and Pesach are connected. That's why it gives the middle days in between a holiness, the Ramban says, is like Chol HaMoed. And it means, as we've explained, that the freedom of Pesach is defined by the Torah of Shavuos. So if so, now we understand very well Rav Soloveitchik's idea that Arami Oved Avi, that's what you have to learn at the Seder night. Because beginning with the Seder is teaching the next generation the oral Torah, which Ravelva Brisker said is midor l'dor. What are you giving over from one generation to the other? You're giving over not only the Torah Shavuksav, which is written, which is in the Chumash, in the Sefer Torah. You're giving over what Chazal understood through the 13 ways that the Torah is understood. You're giving that over from one generation to the other. So Rav Soloveitchik says, since the night of Pesach is not only a night to recount our freedom, but it's also a night to define our freedom. It's a freedom of Torah. So therefore I have to give over from one generation to the other Limud HaTorah at the night of Seder. And that's why we chose a part of the Chumash that only the Chazal could explain through Torah Sheba'al Peh, and that's what we're giving over to our children from one generation to the other. Now we explained that the Inyan of Pesach is B'derech Shaila Tshuva, and the Rav Huttner in his Sefer Pachad Yitzchak tells us that many things that have to do with the Seder are question and answer. We've already shown Echad Miyedea, Echad Ani Yedea. But we also have in the Hallel, it says Betzeis Yisroel Mimitzrayim, when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim. So in that piece of Hallel, which we say a whole Pesach, it says Malacha Hayom Kisonus Hayarden Yisav Lachar. Why are you fleeing away the Yam and the Yarden is moving backwards? It says when Kriyas Yamsav happened, all the waters in the world split as well. So it says in Tehillim, this is taken from Tehillim, a question and an answer, and the answer is milifnei adon chuli oretz milifnei eloka Yaakov. I'm running away because of Hashem, the master of the world. So again, it's question and answer.
My what?
Of course, of
four
course.
Sons,
yeah, of course.
And four sons.
That's right. We're going to come to that in 1 minute. 100%. Of course, you're correct that the main part of Shiloh Tshuva is the Manishtana, where the four children ask the questions and where the four questions are asked. But that's all the idea. B'derech Shiloh Tshuva. And also, Rav Huttner points out, Matzazu Shon Oichlam Al Shoma, Pesach Zu Shon Oichlam Al Shoma, Morer Zu Shon Oichlam Shoma. Question, and then we give the answer because of this reason and this reason. But again, we see that the whole idea of the Haggadah is Shiloh Tshuva. As we explained, that's either to a way of chinuch to teach our children. Or, the way we explained, that it's Haggadah Eidus. When you're in a Besdin, the Besdin asks you seven questions, you have to respond. You say any idea to those fundamental faiths, principles of faith, you're disqualified. Tonight is a night you can't say any idea. Tonight the father has to say ani idea. And Rav Huttner points out that if you look at the four sons, and the answers, we only find three answers to four sons.
On one, we don't get
that. So what do we have? The Tam and the Chacham, each one has their own Pasuk. The Rasha and the Eni Yedei Alisha, the evil son and the child who's a little child who doesn't know how to ask questions yet, both of them come from the same Pasuk. So Rav Huttner points out, why are there not four, if there's four sons, then there should be four psukim. Why are there only three psukim that we have an answer to? The answer, says Rav Huttner, is that the main mitzvah is Shiloh Tshuva. But there's another mitzvah. Sometimes you're not accomplishing Shiloh Tshuva, but you know what you're accomplishing? Vigadet Tolavincha. Even if your son doesn't ask, you have to tell him. So the Tam and the Chacham who are asking good questions, and they want to know a good answer. So each one, you have to answer according to his question. The Chacham's question, which is a deep question, so you have to give him a deep answer. The Tam's question, which is more superficial question, you have to give him a superficial answer. He's not ready yet to understand the deep answer, the profound answer that you gave to the Chacham. Each question, each child deserves his own answer. Each one has his own pasuk. But the Eini Yodei Alisha, he's not asking. Unfortunately, he's not able yet. He's too young. He's not able yet to ask a question. The Rasha asks a question, Mo Avoy Dezois Lachem, but we know that he's not trying to get an answer. He's just asking a question. Rav Huttner calls it Chutzpah D'Apikorsis. He's an apikorsis. He doesn't believe. And he's saying, what's this avoided to you? What are you doing it for? You're old-fashioned. There's a new world. We don't believe in this anymore. So you're not asking a question? I don't have to give you a separate answer because your question is not considered a question. That a question to make fun of Yiddishkeit, not to want to receive an answer, that's not a question. Therefore, I can give you the same answer that I give to the Eni Yedei Alisha. Here, I'm not going to fulfill Shiloh Tshuva. I'm not going to fulfill question and answer. Here, I'm only going to fulfill Vigadet Tolabincha. I'm going to tell, so I can tell you both the same thing. This Eni Yedei Alisha and the Rasha. I'm going to say the same answer, meaning that I'm going to tell you all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Eini Yedei Alisha will pick it up, and the Rasha, hopefully, maybe he'll listen to my words. I have to answer. In fact, I pointed out, my chavrutzer of Moshe Rodenberg said he found it in a sefer as well, but by the Rasha's pasuk, it doesn't say v'amartem elov. You should speak to him. It says v'amartem. You should say. You're not answering him because he's asking chutzpah apikorsis. But v'amartem, you should say. Say it to yourself. Hopefully he'll overhear what you're saying and maybe it'll have an influence on him. But you have to make sure that his apikorsis does not affect you. So v'amartem. This is Yetzias Mitzrayim. These are the fundamentals of our belief. But it's the same answer as we give to the Eini Yodea Lishol. Now, I'd like to conclude the shiur with someone asked me that we're having tomorrow, Erev Pesach, an event that happens only once in 28 years, when the sun is in the exact location that it was at the time of Brias Olam, when the world was created, and Jews from all over the world, from Alaska to Australia, from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, to all other places in the Golis, in the diaspora, people will be gathering together. A Meshgiach from the OU just called me that he's not going to have a minyan probably, and he hopes there's snow where he is. It's overclouded. He hopes to go to Lake Ontario, and maybe there he will see the rising of the sun. But wherever a Jew is in the world, I hope to be in Lakewood, Amir Tashem, where they're supposed to be, the whole town is supposed to gather together, Veroiv Am Hadras Melech, that there is a greatness when many people come together, if they're able to give the Birchas Hachama of Oisa Masa Bereshis, that Hashem is the one who created all these special things in the world. DVD put out by the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, which I recommend to everyone, if they're able to see it before the Birchas Hachama. If they see it after the Birchas Hachama, they'll still gain from the Hashkofa that Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer Shlita and Rav Pesach Kron Shlita, which they give on that DVD. I just want to relate the story that struck me the most, which I had heard once, and I heard it again now from Rabbi Feuer Shlita, and that is a story as follows. It's based on a chazal. The chazal say, Hanelovim ve'enam oilvim, shaymim cherposim ve'enam meshivim, aleim akosiv oimer, v'oyavav kitzeis ha-shemesh b'gvurasoi, which means a person who hears his shame and doesn't respond. On him is said, the ones who Hashem loves is Kitzei Sashemesh Begvurasa, is what was said by Dvorah at the end of her beautiful song that she said to Hashem. V'oyavav Kitzei Sashemesh Begvurasa, like the sun coming out in its strength. So the idea is that the Medrash tells us that the when the sun was created, the moon came to Hashem and said, we have two. The moon at that time was as big as the sun, and the moon said, you know, there's no room here for two masters. The moon wanted to take over and be the main part of the solar system. And the sun did not respond, did not say a word. And Hashem said that I'm going to keep the sun at its full strength. The moon, I'm going to be memayed. I'm going to make it a small entity. So the moon was jealous, and it spoke disparagingly against the sun. And this is what Hashem did, that he was memayet the moon. So this is v'oyavav kitzeis Hashemesh begvurasoi. This, when a person doesn't respond to shame, that reminds Hashem that he is like the sun that didn't respond to its shame. He said over a story, a fascinating story. There was once a couple that came to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Gadol Hador Shlita, and this was after 22 years of marriage. They had no children, and they said to Reb Chaim, "Please help us to have a child." And Reb Chaim gave them a bracha; they should have a child. They said, "That's not Reb Chaim. That's not enough. We need more than a bracha. What can you give us more than a bracha?" And Reb Chaim thought for a while, and then he said, "You know what? If you see that there's someone who gets embarrassed in public and doesn't respond, so go run to that person and ask them for a bracha. Because if they're compared in Chazal to the son that didn't respond to its embarrassment, they have powerful abilities, and if they give you a bracha, in Mirtz Hashem, you'll have a child. 4 years later, almost 28 years, we're speaking about a 28-year cycle, 4 years later, the following scenario took place. A young couple was getting an apartment in Bnei Brak, and I believe it was in Bnei Brak, and they're about to sign for an apartment, and a woman comes to the apartment and says, "Stop, don't take this apartment, it's cursed." And who cursed it? I cursed it, because the previous owner built an extension, and she caused me damage, and therefore I cursed it. So the couple got frightened. They found out that there had been a din Torah by the Bezdin of Rav Nissen Karelitz. They went to Rav Nissen Karelitz Shlita, and he said, "No problem. We listened to what that woman said, and she had no taina. There was nothing wrong that the other party did. Don't worry about the curse. Buy the apartment, and don't have a second thought." And they did that. And then a few months later, the lady who had bought the apartment was at a bar mitzvah, and suddenly the neighbor who had brought the din Torah against the previous owner, the one who had given the curse to the apartment, runs into the bar mitzvah and in public starts ranting and raving and embarrassing her and saying, "You're continuing to do what the other person did, and you're stealing from me and you're causing me damage," and she's going on and on. And suddenly, another lady, a strange lady, runs over to the table. And who was the strange lady? That was the lady who Reb Chaim had said that if you get a bracha from someone who's being embarrassed in public, you'll have a child. And this lady runs over. She had been at the bar mitzvah as well. And she starts pleading with the person who got embarrassed, "Don't answer. Don't answer. I'll soon tell you why you shouldn't answer." And the lady listened. She didn't answer. And the ranting and raving woman who was embarrassing her, was cursing her, saw that she's not answering. She left the bar mitzvah. Then this lady explained to her, the one who had bought, the one who was had a was childless. She explained to her what Reb Chaim had given her as an etzim to get a child. "See if you find someone who's getting embarrassed in public, who's not responding, and get a bracha from them. That's why I begged from you that you should not respond. And now I beg from you to give me a bracha." And sure enough, of course, the lady gave her a bracha. She should have a child. And within the year, the Eitzah and the bracha of Reb Chaim Kinyevsky Shlita was Mekuyim, and this lady had a child. And we see, Rabbi Foyer pointed out, if the lady who gave the bracha, the one who was embarrassed and didn't respond, how effective her bracha was that after so many years, finally this couple had a child. Imagine how much bracha this woman has herself. If she's able to give over a bracha that's effective, imagine what the madrega she is on herself. And therefore, to me, there are many lessons to be learned from the Birchas Hachama, but to me, this was the most profound lesson. If we can, any of us who are in a similar situation, if we get embarrassed, we get slighted by someone else, if we're able to control our emotions and not seek revenge, not speak Lashon Hara against that person, then we will get the bracha of the sun. As Foyer pointed out, the sun is also called Chama. It's warm. When we give the Birchas HaChama, then we will get back a warm bracha. We will be like the Chama. V'oyavav, kitzeis HaShemesh, bigvurasai.